We are here on the Metal Command Show with Biff Byford of Saxon. Biff, great to have you. And tell us a bit about your new album, Into the Labyrinth. I know it's made some headway a little bit in the Billboard charts early on when it came out. And tell us a bit about the new album, Into the Labyrinth.
Well, tell you about the Into album. Well, he's a weak man. Yeah, it's a brilliant album, actually. What can I say? It's in the Billboard charts. We're really happy.
Mm-hmm.
We got a heat seeker, whatever that means.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's cool. It's a mixture of rock and roll and heavy metal. We blend it together, really, and that's what the style sort of is.
Well,
we whip your face off metal and rock and roll.
Biff, ever since Metalhead came out, you guys just seem to keep getting better, better, and better. The older you get, the better you get. And many bands that have been around a long time usually get stale after a while, but in my opinion, Saxon's putting out its best material that it ever has. And why is that? Why have you guys been able to put out such great records while other bands that have been around a lot longer aren't putting out such great records? And you guys seem to be getting better as you get older. And, why is that? What do you attribute to that? Why do you think you guys are getting better as a band?
I think we're trying really hard to keep the edge and to move musically, to get better, really. Keep one foot in the past and one foot in the present. So
mm-hmm.
we try to blend in some of the newer things, like some of the choral choirs on the Battalions of Steel and things,
mm-hmm.
but still keep it classic rock, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Well, the album name Into the Labyrinth, why did you guys title the album Into the Labyrinth, and is there any type of concept or anything about it? What's the meaning behind the title?
Well, we wrote a song called Into the Labyrinth, but it didn't make the album, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And basically, it was a song about, going through life, really. Different doors, different paths.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, I liked the title, so I thought it was cool, because the album's full of, maybe not the same style, then, it's a bit of a labyrinth, really. So the meaning behind it is it's a bit more sort of mystical, I think.
Mm-hmm. You've been working with Charlie Bauerfeind for a long time now, for quite a few records, and with all the metal producers out there, why do you stick with Charlie? What is it about him that you like so much that you guys work with him?
Well, I work very well with Charlie in the production sense, in that he controls the sounds and I really control the performances, so we work well together, and the band really like him, and there's no pressure, he doesn't get too stressed.
Mm-hmm.
And we work very hard, 40 and 15 hours a day. So we can make albums in 6 or 7 weeks. And it keeps everybody fresh, It keeps everybody, the second or third guitar solo is a keeper. The vocals are very, we do it very sort of, our ears, and then we just go for it.
Mm-hmm.
So everything sounds fairly fresh,
So since we're on the subject of making records, what's one of the biggest differences between making a record now and making one, say, 20, 25 years ago?
Well, the biggest difference is the digital thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we combine analog and digital together sometimes, but the digital thing is so much quicker.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's so
mm-hmm.
convenient. It's so convenient for trying things out before you play them,
On the album Rock the Nations, you did a song called Party Till You Puke, and Elton John, funny enough, played on it. And how did that happen? How did you get Elton John to play on one of your records?
We were in the same studio. They were in one side, and we were in the other side. And our producer knew him, so our producer said, "Do you want to play on a song?" And Elton said, "What is it, a ballad or something?" And he said, "No, it's a song called Party Till You Puke." So he was into that. So he did a part for us, So
mm-hmm.
it was pretty cool. It was good fun.
Biff, what do you think about illegal downloading? Has it affected you at all?
I think it affects people, but I think I think in some ways it's everybody created a beast, didn't they, with the downloading thing. I don't think you can turn it off. I think you have to make sure that the package is great for the CD, the artwork is great, and everything comes together. So if people do download it, they go and buy the album as well, which happens in our case quite a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think you'll ever stop illegal downloading. I mean, you could get the album, you could get the album on the net, you know, 3 weeks before it came out.
Now, Saxon has, you know, you got Into the Labyrinth was actually in the Billboard Heatseekers chart, and I don't remember seeing a Saxon album in Billboard in ever. And, you know, you guys going to come over to the U.S. Do you have anything planned for the USA? And do you think you guys will tour over here in the States?
Yeah, we got a festival in Iowa in August, I think. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to get, I think we're trying to get the Rocklahoma Festival. We're trying to get that. We're going to try and put some dates around it. And let's see what, I mean, if the album's still selling and people want to see us, then obviously we can come. It's no problem.
Now we're here with Biff Byford of Saxon. Biff, you guys just released a DVD entitled To Hell and Back Again, and maybe explain to us a little bit about what that DVD is about, what's on it, and just tell us about it.
Well, yeah, that's our second DVD. The first DVD is called The Saxon Chronicles.
Mm-hmm.
The second one's called Hell and Back Again. The second one is mostly camcorder stuff behind the scenes, and I think it was 20th anniversary tour or 25 year anniversary, and we filmed it all.
Mm-hmm.
So it's different audiences, different things. It's a pretty cool video, but it's mostly sort of, you know, shot by ourselves on our own cameras.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty cool, really.
Now, you did a song with an interesting combination of singers. You had Andy Daris from Helloween and Lemmy from Motorhead, and it's pretty interesting because, you know, you also did the intro on the newest Helloween album. And, you know, how did you get together with these guys and get this whole get these guys to sing on it? And why did you pick those particular singers to sing on that song with you?
We know Helloween from the early days, really. Mm-hmm. You know, the original Helloween with the original singer. But I know we know Helloween through Charlie because he does quite a lot of work with them as well.
Yeah.
So we're always meeting up in airports. So when I wanted to do that song with different musicians, you know, Andy was the guy we thought of for the sort of European connection.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we had me, Lenny, and then we had Angry from Australia,
uh-huh,
and Andy from Germany. So, you know, it worked out pretty well.
Now, on a festival, Saxon, you sang a song by Judas Priest called You Got Another Thing Coming Live, and he sang it with Doro Pesch. And how did that come about? What was it like singing on stage with her? And why did you pick that particular Judas Priest song to do live?
Yeah. We did that. A magazine in Germany did a bit of a tribute to Judas Priest album. And they said, do you want to play one? And we said, oh, okay. And they sent us a list. And nobody was doing, I Got Nothing Coming. So we did that song, yeah. And we sometimes play it live.
Now, are you a big fan of many of these bands that you came out of the scene with, like Priest and Maiden and stuff like that?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, we get on well. I've just done a big interview with Bruce in England.
Really?
On his radio show. Yeah, it's cool.
Oh, awesome.
I remember seeing Saxon back in Cleveland in 1998 at the old Peabody's down in the flats here in Cleveland, and you guys put a great show on. And what's the biggest difference between playing in the States and playing in Europe? And, you know, especially with the U.S., you know, for the past, I don't know, 10 years, the music hasn't really been doing that well. You know, aside from a couple bands here or there, you know, what's it like? What's the biggest difference between Europe and the U.S.?
Well, I think sort of, you know, the last 10 years in the U.S. has been quite difficult on a... You know, some towns were pretty big, so that's okay. But I think it's sometimes you know, you're playing clubs, and you can't make enough money to stay there really.
Mm-hmm.
But I think things are changing again now. But I think across America, I think generally metal music in hard rock has not been very popular for quite a long time, and I think it's starting again now.
You know, you talked about it getting better and kind of a resurgence. You know, resurgence. Why do you think that's going on? Why do you think this music's starting to pick up a lot more in the States again?
I don't know. Radio stations, magazines, good albums. You know, I mean, who knows? the cubs of rock look down. I don't know.
Well, when I saw you back, you know, 11 years ago, I mean, you won a fan over, you won a big Saxa fan over when I saw you guys play live. And, you know, playing in the U.S., you know, you guys play a lot smaller venues. And, you know, what's it like playing a smaller venue as opposed to a big one?
We can play big venues, we can play small venues. Yeah. For us, it's just playing, you know. And the fans, the connection between the band and the fans is the most important thing for us anyway. Play in America more. Yeah. Get in front of our, you know, the hardcore fans and some new young fans as well. Mm-hmm. That's the secret, I think.
You know, getting back to the whole Billboard thing, being in the Heat Seekers charts, and not normally ever really being on any type of Billboard chart, why do you think you guys charted and sold all those records right away? And what do you attribute to that?
It's great, and, you know, obviously it's a bit word of mouth, you know, mm-hmm. and obviously radio stations make a massive difference in America, mm-hmm. You know, internet radio and sort of, you know, terrestrial radio. I mean, it makes a big difference when people start to play your tracks and things and people listen. I mean, it makes a massive difference.
Do you think MySpace and sites like YouTube have really helped not only metal bands, but like most bands in general? Do you think MySpace, though, and many of these music sites have helped many metal bands, especially, you know, gain a much broader fan base and help kind of a resurgence of the music again?
It's launched our new MySpace site. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, that's pretty cool. We've got MySpace. We're all over YouTube like a rash. And, you know, we've got our website, saxon747.com. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're pretty much... we've got Facebook. I mean, we're pretty much up on the internet stuff, really.
So basically, you would say the internet then has really helped out a lot, you know, with you guys and many other metal bands that are out there today.
I think it's got a big thing to do with it. Yeah, mm-hmm. I think people can click online. They can be on, say, you know, Crusader, 20 videos of Crusader, live from Vakken, live from here, live from there, mm-hmm. and they can listen to the songs, you know. Now, if some guy listens to this interview and then goes, hey, I'll check him out.
Yeah.
If he goes on YouTube, he can check out us all over the place.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he can go on our website and see podcasts mm-hmm. and videos. So, yeah, it's cool.
Now, spanning your career, Biff, and, you know, Sax has been around for, you know, over 30 years. So I guess this is kind of going to be a difficult question for you, but what's one of the moments or one of the things in your career that you're most proud of?
Well, I think for the US, I think the tour we did with Iron Maiden in 83 was Power and the Glory for Saxon, mm-hmm. and I think it was Power Age for Maiden. I think that was a great time.
Peace of mind.
In America for Saxon, yeah. Huh?
You mean Peace of Mind?
Peace of Mind, yeah, definitely, yeah, yeah. Yeah, the Egyptian thing.
Oh, Power.
Yeah, that was good, yeah.
Oh, Power.
Yeah, peace of mind. I'm getting confused.
Power Slave, I think. I don't remember now.
Power Slave, that's the one. Power Slave, yeah. Yeah, so that was a great time for us in America.